everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarpanito, and I am joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Zepeda.
Irashamase.
And Colin Smarley.
Hello, everybody. Hope you and yours are doing well.
And guys, I need your help. It's with a heavy heart that I have to say that on our Discord channel, we have to change our role name.
Yeah.
We can't defend Cowdy anymore.
The time has come. This is a crossroads. We bid you adieu, Kaori Watanabe.
I mean, fuck you, Kaori.
fuck you. Fuck you walking in there like nonchalantly being like, oh yeah, by the way, got an apartment in London now.
A flat.
Whatever. Fucking it's British. Different. Fucking, she's Brexiting to London.
She tried to get an apartment, but it couldn't fit in her schedule.
Her schedule. Did she live in Tokyo before, like, Terrace House? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Around there, about. Yes. She's moving from, like, the number three or four most, or probably the number one most expensive city to, like, the number three or four, right? Like, this chick's loaded.
She's got money.
Yeah.
Loaded.
Yeah, I'm just upset that she just so nonchalantly announces that she's leaving. Like it's not going to hurt us or anyone in the house, but mostly us.
I mean, sure. Yeah, you know, it's just like that first six in the house we can look back at now. Maybe not the best starter pack to go with in Terrace House so far.
And unideal starter pack.
And how did she try and draw the parallel like Shohei leaving like had nothing to do with that? I just don't buy it. I just don't know. It seemed like a defense mechanism when she like really was like digging her heels and like, nah, I didn't care. Shohei can leave, whatever.
I'm sorry. I thought I was a part of the Cowdy defense force.
Well, we're hating on her now. She's gone.
Cowdy attack force. Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, she leaves the room and now it's like, yeah, let's talk mad shit right about her.
Yeah.
This week,
is that the sound of talking shit? Just like
it's very like similar to trying to get
gremlins.
A cat.
That's what it sounds like in a Peanuts movie.
Yeah. So this week, we're going to talk about episode 19 of Tokyo 2019-2020, The Stray Sheep, which is based on, I hope, is a good pun, but I don't know enough Japanese to know for sure if it's one. As you probably know by now, of course, we're all a little bit miffed that Cowdy has announced she's leaving, but we will get to that when we get to it. While Jack cries.
That's just
so in the episode.
Oh, no.
With the panel. And the panel, we have Tori-chan who says, hey, Sho-chan's at a movie. He's filming a movie for the next 2 weeks, which I know she said we need to fill for him or we need to carry without him. I feel like that was just being nice. No offense to Sho-chan, but
he
like,
doesn't do much.
Yeah.
I want to start keeping a tally of how many times he talks, because I swear it's like maybe three or four times in a part, like the whole part.
There have been some episodes where you brought it up too, like, I don't think he said anything this week.
I mean, though, to be fair, Baba Zona doesn't talk a whole lot either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But at least when she talks, it's a zinger.
Which it adds to the conversation. Yeah.
And it really stands out how little Sho-chan talks when you have Rui Hachimura come out and like he's like the star of the show. Yeah. You know, it really like a stark contrast.
Right. And also in this panel segment in the beginning, Yama mentions he reflects on Shohei's time in the house. And he says he reflected by watching old episodes and doing research on YouTube, which I want to propose the fact that there's a chance he might have seen us.
Oh,
we might
gosh.
Be that research.
If he just plugged in Terrace House, he might have. Oh my gosh. That changes the game.
I think we get a lot of bounces on YouTube from Japanese people. Like, oh shit, this is in English. Fuck this.
Yeah, we probably do. Do you think Yama-chan speaks Eigo?
I don't know.
Maybe a little bit sometimes on the show. But you're right. There is a chance he saw us and was like, oh shit.
Yeah. So I'm just saying we've got to button up our show now, guys. We've got to be professionals because we could be being seen by Yama-chan.
Well, before we turn all professional, I would just like to point out that it's really fun to me that English is called Eigo in Japanese.
Lego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lego my freaking Ego waffles, son.
But nice. It's time to put the jokes away now because we're now a serious podcast. A podcast for intellectuals. Yes,
very professional.
We'll let them think that.
Yes. So we open this episode in the first floor where Kaori, Haruka, and Emi-chan are downstairs and they're noshing on some instant ramen, which when I wrote that in my notes, I didn't think it'd become a plot point, but it becomes a major plot point.
Mm.
The ramen instant.
The ramen incident.
The ramen instant.
Pepe and Ruka come home. Pepe is extremely tired because he did a basically double duty of being a model by day and a mangaka by night. To which he says, I'm going to probably quit modeling in September, which I don't blame him. He seems like a really Mm-mm. busy guy. And on top of that is on Terrace House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just a lot of responsibilities.
He's so busy, he's got to hire two people to help him out, and he's going to take a pay cut to do it. That's how busy he is. He's willing to take that pay cut.
See, I think that's a cool thing, though, because when you're a mangaka that has assistants,
that's seems kind of official. A big deal. Yeah, but yeah. It just like shows like, man, I got too much work, guys. Somebody help me, please.
Yeah, right. It's literally insane. Their schedules. Like, I remember seeing like a graphical representation of like the day by Masashi Kishimoto, who's the mangaka for Naruto. Mm-hmm. He had like 4 hours of sleep every night. And then like 2 hours per day to like eat and bathe and take care of himself. And then on the weekend, he would just like, he'd get a whole luxurious 8 hours to sleep on one day, if you can believe that. But then the rest of that is just work 6 days a week.
Oh my gosh. Crazy. Well,
and practicing jutsus in the corner.
Oh, right. Yeah. His ninjutsu.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, dude was banging out at least a chapter a week for years, like a solid, I don't know, 20 years.
I mean, that's the expectation for serialized manga. Like, even if you're really big, you can't just be like, sorry, guys, I'm taking a break.
Well, unless you're the guy who writes Berserk.
He said, sorry, guys, take a break. But the One Piece mangaka, like he's hospitalized himself because of how hard he's worked.
Brutal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope Pepe doesn't get to that point.
Seriously.
Same. And in this scene, Ryo comes home and he just came home from practice and he wants to use the playroom to go chill, watch TV, right? But I don't know, maybe I'm reading into this, but I kind of want to get your guys' perspective on this. There are these little moments where Pepe is interacting with Ryo and it feels a little bit like Pepe is being pretty passive aggressive.
It's just like competitive, right? Like they're jostling a little bit for position because it's like, hey, who are you? Oh, I didn't recognize you because you looked like a pro basketball player yesterday and now you don't. And it's just like, whoa, a little tension. I definitely felt it.
Yeah.
Just generally uncomfortable a little bit.
Yeah. There was that one bit where Pepe was like, oh, we should go see him in a game so we can all chant, oh, he's so hot. And I got that vibe. I was like, oh.
Yeah, he's hoping. He had that look on his face like, yeah, I hope people didn't hear me just say that.
Wow.
It made me think like, you know, like Pepe is one of those guys could be a great friend, but like you wouldn't want to like be on his bad side, I feel like, because he would be kind of relentless is my thought.
Yeah, this reads to me as like he's threatened. He's like used to being the funny, charming, handsome guy in the house. And now there's someone who is perhaps equally funny and charming and handsome. And it's like, no, that's my thing. You took my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's like people in the house are gravitating towards the O. And he's like, yeah, people, you know, he's stealing my thunder, man. It's like when the new cute guy from another school gets transferred to your high school, you know?
Yeah, we all know that anime plot.
it's coming
to life right in front of Pepe's eyes. And he's horrified. He's like, I'm the one that gets swept to the wayside in this situation.
And I think that it's still cool, though. I like Ryo so far. I mean, we wanted an athletic Olympic hopeful. We got one. We speculated about this way back, you know, when before the season even started. So let's see what happens. You know, and like I said last week, too, I hope we're not forced to pick sides because I like both of them, you know, for their in their own unique personalities and offerings.
Yeah. The next scene here, we go up to the playroom where Yo's just doing the thing that every millennial does, where they, quote, watch TV, but really they're just playing on their phone. They're just tweeting and
yeah,
tweet looking at the Instagrams, you know. But then Emmy comes in and she wants to confirm, you know, hey, are we still on for tomorrow for the baseball game? And she sneaks in a little bit of, do you want to get dinner or tea afterward? Where here Ryo kind of takes initiative and he's like, oh yeah, I'll find us a place. Don't worry about it. You know, I'll figure it out. Which is a very jockey, you know, masculine thing for him to do. It's very kind of expected based on the archetypes we believe with him. Colin, did you have a thought about him?
Yeah, yeah. It's like he's taking point, you know, because he's a point guard.
Yes.
Any other basketball puns? 1 week without these puns, you fucks.
No, but no, it's they're very charmy very quickly. This is just like they're not pulling any stops, man. They're like they're just going for it. I think Emiko really has it in for you. Is the feeling I get.
Yeah, I was surprised with like how flustered she was. Like she was like, oh, I need to go find him and talk about tomorrow. And like the way she like kind of like awkwardly like crouched down and she's like, wait, can I add you to line? And it's like, yeah. I also, he sent the best sticker as his first line impression. It's just like a character getting hit in the face with a baseball and it's a dun.
It was pretty really funny.
Nice.
It was
nice.
Pretty funny. And that's another thing, too. Like, he went to the playroom. Emiko came down looking for him. And then Pepe had to be the one to tell her, hey, he's upstairs. Just another, like, you know, thing where, oh, I can tell you're looking for him. Like, Pepe knows that she's into him. And I think it's kind of coming through and shining through in everything she does and says. Like, it's really hard for her to contain her enthusiasm. And again, it's not even 24 hours, I think, or just about 24 hours since they met. So it's still very, very fresh.
Yeah, you could say this is maybe the infatuation period
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but after we see that perfect line message, we cut to the shit tro, and this is the first intro we see actually with the montage of Ryo. Like he's actually in this intro, right? Because he wasn't in the last one, if I remember right.
Right.
I thought it looked straight up just like a highlight reel of look at all the good basketballs I can do.
Can we just have your highlight reel? We don't want to like have to film extra stuff. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, we don't have a high shutter speed camera. Can you just give us some of your stuff? And then after the shit show, we get to the first floor. It's 8 a.m. and it's just Pepe and it's just Ryo. It's just the two men who are fighting over Emika.
I thought they were going to continue chiding each other because he's like, oh, what are you cooking? And Ryo was like, oh, something you probably don't eat much of. And I thought it was like a slight, like, oh, man, they just keep elbowing each other. Like, get out of my way, you know. But it was more like they made light of it. Like, oh, you're just going to crack eggs like Rocky into your mouth. Mm. And I've never done that before. Has anyone ever just cracked a raw egg straight into their mouth?
No, I can't say that I have.
I'm too scared. I don't think Rocky did either, did he?
I mean, it's just like a boxer, wrestler kind of, you know, stereotype that they
do
that.
Drink them. I know that.
I think you did drink them.
But there's a glass involved, you heathen. No one's out here just crunching on eggs.
There was a vessel that carried these eggs to his mouth.
But yeah, I think they had a little fun there. I think they have this vibe of we can be friends, but the moment we have to compete, or we have to be, you know, quote unquote, on, you know, it's no holds barred, right? And I think that's the feeling I get between the two of them.
Wouldn't you make also, I mean, it's very clear that Ryo is there for love. He has stated it to his friends. He's there to date, you know, and that's why he brought up the bros before hoes in the first place, because he's intending to date all these, as many girls as he can, basically. Mm. Yeah, that's kind of why he brought that up, I think. And so Emika did the same thing. She brought up that's her priority. And that they're gravitating closer to each other, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Parallel to that line of thinking, now that I think about it, maybe Pepe kind of hamstringed himself by just being like, oh, you know, I'm here to grow and work on my manga. And the fact that he didn't mention romance whatsoever might give some signals to Emika and Co. that are like, oh, he's not really here for that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but as we find out later, I don't think that's swaying Emiko away from Pepe. You know, we see the way she talks about him in confidence, and
yeah,
it's pretty striking.
That was
right?
That's an interesting combo.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But other moments that happen here with this Pepperio shindig downstairs in the kitchen, Emmy walks in, glasses on, so she can quote CDO better. Right, you know, another one of Pepe's jabs.
That was cringy too. Like, it was. So before that, though, the guys, I think they bonded over the shitty, gross, nasty mess of ramen left in the sink and the pile of dishes. Listen, like, am I gonna win any, like, you know, world's cleanest person awards? Probably not. But I try and be tidy. You know, like, I try not to be like just leaving shit out everywhere. But those dishes, that mountain dishes was nasty. And then to leave the food in, at the very least, put it down the sink and rinse it out and maybe just let it soak overnight, you know, like at minimum, like it takes 5 seconds. It just kind of really grossed me out. I don't know. What did you guys think about that when you saw that they're that dirty there?
Yeah, I think Yama's rant after this scene during the panel discussion was so like the I didn't realize how gross the place was. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were getting shots of the bathroom in the previous episode. We're like, wow, this place is kind of a dump. And then we get shots of the kitchen, mounds of dishes. And then someone says it. I think Emmy says that sometimes it's worse. Sometimes it's even worse than what we see. And then later on in the episode, we get Ruka coming in and telling Ryo, hey, I cleaned the bathroom. We get a shot in the bathroom.
My gosh.
And it's dank, dimly lit. The mop is on the floor.
Dude, like, the bathroom is such, it looks like something out of Saw.
Kind of,
Because that's compared to like OND.
In the corner.
Especially compared to like OND, because you've got like, it looks like that plastic that's wrapped around toilet paper and empty toilet paper rolls on the ground next to like a, what's it called? Essential oils with the sticks sticking out.
Incense.
Incense. Dude, the word. But they got that on the ground. And then they have the net that to clean the pool is sitting there on top of a dirty ass nasty sponge. And then this is after Ruka said he cleaned it. Like, Nani, the fuck? It's gross.
Dude, I was half expecting like rust stains to be on the floor and somebody in the distance asking me if I want to play a game. All right. It's like,
it's yeah, bad. Where is Jigsaw? He's just going to pop out of the water.
He's the secret seventh member of the house. Next to Shohei's tooth.
Terror Anyways. House.
In summary, Shohei's tooth. That was his
in summary.
Trap.
The house is gross.
Yeah, it is unfortunate though, right? That Ryo needs to live. Like, he's an Olympic hopeful. He needs routine in his life. He needs stability. Good breakfast, and by breakfast I mean like 4 plates. He had a lot of food, you know, but nonetheless, he has to have a regular schedule to maintain his physique and all that. And instead, he's like, this weekend, I might need to deep clean this house because it's so fucking filthy that I'm going to deep clean it.
And if you're a roommate, a new roommate that comes into this house, I mean, this isn't any living situation, but if you're a new roommate, especially on Terrace House, and you come in and the house is disgusting, like, I would be upset. Like, I would be kind of irate. I would be angry.
Like, part of the reason why I really like Taka back in OND is because when he left, he spent a long time cleaning. He did yard work. He scrubbed down the stove. He scrubbed down the tub. He like left that place better than when he got there. And that's the way it should be, I feel like, you know. And I didn't see anyone lift a finger when they left. Shohei just left. Kaori, I love her, but I'm assuming she just leaves. I don't know. Maybe she'll prove me wrong. Actually, we haven't actually seen her leave yet. But yeah, you know what I mean? But it's just, where is that work ethic? Where is that drive to live tidily?
Apparently, it hasn't existed in this house. And I wonder, so, you know, Pepe seems like he's been living in a culture of fear since he moved in, right? Because when he talked to Ryo about it, he was like, I wanted to say something, but I don't have the heart to do it, right?
That's true. He did say that.
But Emmy, on the other hand, she when she comes in and it's just her and Ryo downstairs, she's like, oh yeah, you know, it's this messy. But she kind of tried to distance herself from the issue as if she wasn't at fault, right?
Even though she was part of the problem.
Yeah, as Yama points out, we got that shot of her eating ramen with the other two girls last night, and it's ramen in the sink. I'm not going to assume, but I'm just saying.
And I can see, though, you know, to play devil's advocate here, I can see, though, the temptation to fall in line, so to speak, to not be the no one wants to be the tall nail, right? Besides Ryo, he's the only one that wants to say, hey, what's up with this? This is messed up. And it turns out most people are glad he did that. But it's really hard to do, particularly in Japanese culture, to stand out. So I could see, I could even imagine a scenario in myself where I come into a house that's dirty. I'm like, oh, I guess this is just how we be now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not good. It's not right. It's not healthy, but it's the easy way out, you know?
At a towering 5'9", he's become the tall nail that sticks up in this crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he said something. I hope we get like a montage where they all clean house together and bond. That would be nice.
We got a little bit of it. I was pretty impressed with the progress that we made today in this episode.
Yeah,
some vacuum cleaning.
Just a little bit. They're going to do it in steps, you know, in installs. Yeah.
I remember because Inruka just sat there.
Inruka was just. Also, the carpet looked like it was dirty.
Yeah.
I very nice. Much question having carpet in like a dining setting to begin with. So I can't imagine all the little food bits that are on the ground underneath the chairs, like that have just been languishing there for apparent weeks.
All the dried up broth on the carpet. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm going to tell you, as someone who lives in an apartment with no proper dining area, so we have to eat out in the living room where there's carpet, gets real dirty real quick. You have to make sure you keep it tidy at least once a week is probably what you should do, at least.
And if you notice, when Haruka is vacuuming, if you look closely, you catch her battery pack for her microphone, her like clip-on mic or whatever it is. It's on her back. Lower back there, and so interesting.
Fourth wall.
So
fourth wall.
They're wearing shattered. Microphones. Yeah,
live mic, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, that's why every pool scene sounds like garbage, because you can't fit a lav mic on a bikini, so it's all just boom mics or something.
Yeah, I wondered if it was like if they had some good booms too, you know. So it feels like the panel aren't wearing mics, but maybe they're just really hiding them well too.
The panel? I think they're wearing mics.
You think they're wearing them?
Yeah, they're also on a soundstage, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I thought they just had booms off camera. I don't know.
I mean, that's possible. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they don't move that much, so I don't see why they wouldn't have lavs, you know what I mean? But we've been dwelling too long on the dirty dishes, so let's put those away for now. Put them in the dishwasher.
Yeah, please clean them.
Let's go to Takigashira Hall in Isogo, where we have Ryo, and we get to see his little I do work montage, but obviously instead of work, it's just him practicing basketball. And we get little bits of information about who he is. We know that he's been single for about 2 years now, which is kind of surprising, honestly. And that he has played on the national Japanese team before, and he graduated from Dominican down in California.
So I would say that though he hasn't had a girlfriend that he considers to be a girlfriend in the last 2 years, I'm willing to suspect man's gone on a few dates, done a few things, slang a few thing of things. And so,
wait, slang, you know, a few what?
I'll just let you fill in the blanks there. But,
baskets. But
he's definitely been active, you know. And we find out about him when he's talking to his friends that he doesn't really have a type either, which is just like open season.
Yeah.
Is that another basketball reference?
No, it didn't mean for me. I'm just like, he'll just like, hey, whoever, you know, let's do
this thing.
I'm confused,
Jack. Is Ryo a hunter now? I don't really.
Or
is
he talking about basketball?
We're talking about his dating type here. I think that he just, doesn't have a type. He just open to whoever, older, younger, he mentioned, right? Doesn't matter.
He mentions that in the date with Emika, right?
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, let's just go to that, right? So after practice, he sprints to Suidobashi because he's late.
Not
he is late to their date to watch people run on baseball plates.
I was going to say, thank you. I was going to say he ran because he's late. Dude, date number one. This was like one of the most shocking parts of this whole episode to me. Like, you're in Tara's house. You're on camera. You're going on your first date. You know the show. This is a big deal here, and he's late. And then the excuse he gives, ultra lame here. He said, I got too excited, so I was late. What does that even mean? And then, hold on. And then to be late is one thing, but to get there after the game even starts, that's really late. That's really, that's maybe, yeah.
They
that's
missed
maybe
part of the
an
game.
Hour
oh,
late. I can't even think of, like, what time she had to have told him to get there with reasonable time before the game, you know? So I'm guessing it's at least 30 minutes at least.
Oh man. I was about to say, I wasn't like sure how long she had been waiting, I mean, she did. She was like, "Oh, soy, oh, soy, like you're late, you're late." But
look who's tardy.
I was okay with like the sorry I got too, like I thought it was a charming little line. Mm. Like, I don't think that was really why he was late. And I think he made up for it. I think he made up for it later.
He did, but yeah. Also keep in mind that they already like lined up. Okay, this is exactly when he gets off, 4:30. They're going to meet at 6. Like, it was like black and white. So I just think it's just not a good look, you know?
Conspiracy theory time. Everyone put on your tinfoil basketball shorts.
Oh, boy. What?
He was late on purpose.
Fashionably late.
Here, there are a lot of reasons. For one, it's baseball. You can be 4 hours late and it's still the second inning.
That's not wrong.
Yeah, see, I get you, right? I know a thing or two about sports. Two, being late lets him, like when he pays the bill at the end of the day, right? If he had been on time, you know, the paying the bill would have just been like, oh, let me handle this. I got this, right? And they would have done a little bit of a check dance, right? And that's fine. But for him to be able to use the excuse, no, I was late, this is my late fee, it's kind of it's an authoritative, like, end of discussion. I paid for this date, and it's fine. And we had fun, and let's go on another one. It puts him in control of this possible relationship. Mm. And I think that he's that kind of person who likes to be the alpha, who likes to be the one, you know?
I get what you're saying, and we'll find out in the future, you know, whether he's that smart. I'm not willing to say he's not smart enough to do that. Maybe. I think it's a bold statement for a conspiracy theory, but it could be possible. But I call me old fashioned, but I just have never been late, especially on a first date. Maybe like 10th or 11th, 12th date, maybe a little like, hey, 15 minutes, sorry, whatever. But like first date, like it just goes against everything I know. But again, I might be just old fashioned.
I also have another conspiracy theory. Oh. And this might be why I ignored the lateness so much, because I was so distracted by the fact that he was wearing glasses and she had on her glasses like on the front of her shirt, like prepared for at any one moment she might need to put on glasses. I totally feel like he wore glasses because he saw her that morning and was like, oh, we can match. And that's a talking point.
So he went on a solo glasses picking date for his date. Mm.
Colin, you've been quiet. What are you thinking, man?
I'm surprised. That's so funny that we have all different conspiracy theories. So my conspiracy theory is,
I'll make one up.
You're going to make one up. My conspiracy theory is that he was late on purpose to see how she would react to him being late, and then he was never going to be late again.
You think
after
he's that okay, fucking no, arrogant and narcissistic? That is brutal.
This is my like true. Probably the most out there out of the three of us. But I think that because he's just seen if she likes him enough to not care that he's late.
I kind of get that too, because here's the thing. Yeah. When you're late for stuff, it is arrogant by nature. It is somewhat narcissistic to be late for anything. So that has to be part of it, right?
Colin, is this a very common first date move for you?
Oh, me?
What? What?
Me?
Yeah,
what?
Like, I think you need to be arrogant to even consider that a possibility, I feel like.
You, Robert, are giving me way too much credit.
Y'all, I think really he was just being a basket boy, and coach didn't let him go shower for a significant amount of time, and he had to make it back from Yokohama.
That's probably the most obvious answer.
He does have to put in more work. He has a lot of, you know, progress to make if he's going to be on the Olympic team.
Yeah,
and stay later.
And it's also very obvious he likes to talk too. Like that scene where he was talking to his teammates, it sounded like it was a pretty long conversation. So he could have gotten caught up, lost track of time. It could have been a million things.
And they're online together, so I would like to hope at least that she wasn't shocked that he was going to be late. You know, I would like to think they were maybe keeping in contact, and she just wasn't left hanging high and dry. You know.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, this might fit into his athletic persona, you know, like, oh, he's an athlete. He loses track of time a little. You know, what a scamp. Like, at least he has six packs.
to kind of fast forward here, but, too, in the show, they don't show any of the game, which I was kind of disappointed in. They just show the outside of the stadium and then of Tokyo Dome and then inside. And it's like, oh man, I wanted to see some baseball and, you know, and hear some of the organ playing. And I don't know. I was looking forward to it. Like kind of when you go to see Tsubasa play hockey, I was looking forward to some cool action, but it wasn't meant to be because licensing issues. They go to the restaurant, they go and get lamb, and it was cool. They had a good vibe there together. It's a little nervous energy because they're still getting to know each other, but I thought it was a pretty successful date overall.
Yeah, they go to Jingisukan Kirishima, right, where they get some lamb, some mutton, and this is where the infamous pun takes place from Emika, right, where she's basically saying that she's a stray sheep. She is a little lost, needs someone to snap her out of her funk, right? And I assume one of those words can sound a little bit like sheep, which is why she says stray sheep. But here you get this moment where Ryo's like, oh, don't worry, I got you. I can be your coach. I can snap you out of your funk.
Damn.
Be my coach.
Sliding right in there. Sliding right into home plate. Ha, baseball.
My senpai. We also learn that, and this is kind of surprising to me, that Emika has very high opinions of Pepe. I was getting more friend vibes at that beach date, like I stated last week, but I think that she thinks of him as a man. She thinks he's attractive. She thinks he's, you know, fun to be with, good energy, looks good all the time. Like,
all the
time. Yeah, I do think she's more into Ryo, though, and maybe it's just a recency thing because he's the new boy. But I think there is kind of a primal attraction going on here. This is the kind of energy I like seeing on a first date. There's definitely some attraction going on physically.
Yeah, good vibes. I liked that they were like having conversation. There was none of those weird awkward pauses that we've unfortunately become used to with like Ruka dates.
Yeah,
like it was a good time. It was a good time. Food looked good.
It was a good example of like a good date, I guess. I'm short of words here of what to say here, but we've just seen a lot of inept dates, you know, and just a lot of people just having fun or just whatever with Kenny or whatever with Shohei, and it doesn't really go anywhere. This was something that is definitely progressing, and he was smooth in the way that he said, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom, paid for it, like you said, Daily. You know, that was a good move and a mature move. You and Tori-chan were putting up, like, he's got a maturity about him, and they're right.
Yeah, and I think that was the big bullet point that this date had over the Pepe date. Was the whole like smooth move with the check. Otherwise, I feel like they were kind of neck and neck with Emmy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like both dates went pretty damn well, you know?
Yeah. At the time last week, I didn't think Emmy and Pepe is a good date, but now the hearing her talk about it has changed my mind. So I do think it is closer than I originally thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I kind of see them as neck and neck right now. Right. Cause you know, this date went well with Yo, but twice in this episode, Emika says, oh, Pepe's so cool. He's so hot all the time. Mm. You know, she says it once to Ryo and once to just her friends who have nothing to do with Terrace House, right? So that's to me, puts Pepe in a pretty good light for her.
Very telling.
But at the same time, she says she's also very attracted to the athletic type, which I like Pepe, but put him next to Ryo and he is not the athletic type.
No.
No.
He sits in his special chair while drawing manga all day. That can't be good for his back long term, I gotta say.
Now, I can see this being that classic battle between wits and charm and charisma versus just abs.
Just abs.
Holds up against all that all by itself, by the way. It really does. Okay, I know a lot of people don't like hearing that, but abs are a factor. Okay, so I really think that, or at least I'm hoping that it doesn't turn into that, but I can see this converging here with this episode.
Well, we happen to have a female on our show, Jack, so.
Yep. Let's just shoulder all of womanhood on one.
Yes, for all women. Daily, please speak for all women.
Daily, speak for all Japanese women, please. Thank you.
IDK. No, but I was just going to say, like, give Ryo a little more credit than that. I think he has more than just abs.
True, I think that
he is very charming and kind of a smooth talker. Obviously, on the date, he, you know, he said he was talkative. And I think he was able to communicate himself very clearly and in a positive way. Like, they had some good combos.
I agree.
I think that also definitely applies to Pepe. I mean, he's super fun. Like, when he's like, wait, who are you? Oh, you look like a professional basketball player. Like, that was great. He's very clever. But almost, I think it's more the factor of, like, I think it's going to come down to approachability versus abs. It's like, Pepe's like,
Approachability.
like Pepe's like, he's too cool. He's a model and a mangaka. He's got so much going on for him. He's just like on this next level. And so is Ryo. I mean, he's you know, aiming for the Olympics, but personality wise, I feel like he's very approachable.
Has Emmy, I can't remember, remind me guys, has Emmy read his manga yet, Mingo?
I don't think.
Wasn't it mentioned this episode? Somebody was talking about his manga.
Yeah, everyone has read it except for Haruka and Ryo, and we find Haruka reading it later.
We'll get there. Before we leave the Jingisukan Kirishima date, I just wanted to point out a small thing. So when they were eating at the table, did you guys notice like the light that was like overhanging over the grill? Was that... was that from the because of the restaurant? Was that supposed to be there? Was that a production thing?
If I had to guess, it's part of the restaurant.
I have to go back.
I don't know.
Man,
it just seemed really oddly placed.
It was odd.
It was just it was just oddly placed. I thought it was like, is that just like a piece of the like the is that for the camera? Like, are they trying to just get like vanity shots of the food?
Because also, one other thing. Like, it's really funny because they show an establishing shot. They show there's a cat on Daly's head right now. I'm sorry. There's literally a big orange Garfield looking cat sitting on Dylan's head.
It is Garfield.
I lost my train of thought. Okay, let me grab it. And there it is. Okay, so it's funny because they show the establishing shot of the restaurant and then Amika goes, "It's packed." Okay, that's what they say. And you can hear the hustle and bustle. And then they show them in there and it looks empty as shit. Like, they have a special like private table and just like one or two servers are walking by. It's like,
oh, I thought you were gonna say like the producers came in and were like, okay, everybody out.
like they're Yakuza or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a restaurant after a baseball game, like right next to the
stadium.
It's
gonna be slammed. Yeah. So it's just like, well, it didn't look slammed, is all I'm saying.
He did get a reservation, which is smart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did.
Yes, remember, Emmy is a great woman for him because he didn't just reserve any old mutton restaurant. He reserved the finest in Tokyo for the finest of women.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He said it's one of the best in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, you could just say that on a date, but he still wants to put about this air of, like, I care enough about you. I want to put my best foot forward even though I was late.
I was going to say, you know what else shows you care? Being on fucking time.
Again, conspiracy. Lateness was part of his charm.
Give it a try. It works sometimes.
All right, y'all.
Just be late to your next first date. And then Ryo and Emmy come home from their date. We go to the playroom where I've learned that Pepe is the worst older brother because he's teaching Ruka how to play Smash on the Switch. But if you'll notice, he gave Ruka only one Joy-Con.
And he had two.
Bitch, I know there's another one in there. You're using two.
I didn't notice that.
You don't just buy one loose Joy-Con. There's a fourth one sitting somewhere in that room.
Dude, that is fucked up. And you get the sense that this is probably the first time Ruka's ever played.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just another, like, more evidence in the fire that Pepe is just sunning Ruka at any point. You know, when he's like, oh, you like Emmy, right? Remember that last week? Like, he just like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Just like...
Boom roasted.
Just whatever. You're just like, damn, Pepe, be nice.
Here, I'm
going to
use the first party controller. You can have the shitty Mad Cats controller that's missing a button.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's
We've all
exactly
been there.
What I was thinking.
With like a
We've
sticky turbo there. Button.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're playing Smash. Ryo comes in and he's like, okay, cool. I'll tag in after I take a shower, right? And then we cut to the girl's side of the house. We're in the girl's room. Emmy says, oh, hey, I had fun on the date. Generally positive vibes. When we come back to the playroom, the boys are talking about the Emmy date, and Ryo kind of agrees. He was like, yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. I like how easygoing Emika is. I like how talkative she is. And Pepe seems to agree. You know, he's now in privacy. He's like, be real with me. You know, are you into her? Do you think she was fun? So I still think it's maybe just in public when they're both competing in front of Emika, he punches harder. But in privacy, he likes to kind of be a, a bro before a hoe, you know? Mm.
Yeah, you don't have that pressure. You don't have that pressure on you and being in front of the woman that you like, because if you're in that inner presence, you have to impress her, because that's just dumb heterosexual male brain for you.
Yep. Dumb male brain, really, for the most part.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. Y'all are dumb. No.
Thanks.
Yeah. Definitely not much.
Yeah.
In the next scene here, we're on the first floor. This is the scene where Haruka is vacuuming as Ruka does absolutely, literally nothing. And then we get
he's supervising, all right?
He's watching over.
Yes. You know? He's the watcher like Kaori.
Yes. We get a shot of the blackboard where we see Yudio is having dinner with his family, and I assume Pepe drew that iconic shot of Goku after he turns Super Saiyan and looks at Frieza like he's about to tear an asshole open. Like, I don't know why he drew it. But
no, it was his explanation for like, what are you doing? What's your availability, Pepe? It literally said mangaga, which means it's like, but the manga. Like, the manga is on the mind.
Like, he's so angry that's he goes Super
that's
Saiyan.
His battle right now is with the manga.
It's a struggle.
Interesting. That's cute. Well, Emmy comes downstairs, and now it's just Emmy, Haruka, and Ruka, right? And Haruka says something along the lines of how she and Kaori were thinking we should clean the house now that Ryo's here. Mm-hmm. And Emmy's a little bit like, oh, why didn't you guys clean the house when I was coming here?
Yeah.
And Haruka just says, you know, Ryo seems to be a little more particular about it.
Vocal.
Yes, very.
Yeah.
Very vocal.
This is a lesson out there, you know, it's like the closed mouth doesn't get fed. If something's bothering you, speak up, you know, or else you're the only one that's going to suffer, honestly, I think. I'm a firm believer in that. If something's bothering you in roommates or marriage or love or working like that, if you just let it fester inside, you're the only one suffering. No one even knows, you know, so it's better just to speak your mind, be honest, open about things and air it out. Rip the Band-Aid. Yeah.
That's life lessons with Tadaima.
That's what I think.
And in this scene, we also see Haruka. She's talking to, actually, no, let's not skip over Ruka's fumble. He has very few fumbles this week, but we need to highlight them on this week's episode of The Darndest Thing Ruka Says and Does, where he forgot to move his laundry, and then Spider-Man walks over the couch to do his laundry.
Damn it. Damn it, Robert. Daily. That was the one thing. That was the one Spider-Man thing we have seen out of Ruka. I was like, it's totally unimpressive. It's just walking across the couch. But I was like, ready to see some, like, a backflip at the end, like, flip off the couch. I was like, it's balance. Starting. It's beginning. He's going to, like, kick flip off the wall, but then he can't get off because, like, the stickiness is starting. Like, I'm ready to believe.
So, the funny part about it, too, when he comes back, he doesn't even ever, they never show a frame of him sitting back on the couch. He just walks in front of the camera, around the table, walks in front of Emika, and then just stands on the couch. Like, I'm sure he sits down afterwards, but the camera doesn't show it. Like, the last frame is him just standing. Like, dude, who walks on the couch? Like, little kids do that.
And Ruka.
Do you guys walk on your couches at home? Do you guys walk on your couches at home? Tell the truth.
No.
No.
Only right? No, when I'm like putting something up on a wall behind the couch and I need, because I'm a short man, as I've said before, I need the couch to reach higher.
I can see that. I've done that before. Yeah. If you're putting something, for leverage, but not like, oh shit, the laundry. Let me walk clear across my couch.
Man, you perfectly you good floor right there. Big boy as I am, you think I can stand in my fucking IKEA furniture?
Yes.
It's like, is the floor lava? Shit. Like, what is going on here?
Yes. It is for Ruka, right?
Yes.
But I don't know, speaking of childish things, right? No, this is mean. I mean, it's not that childish. But Haruka also mentions that for her date with Pepe tomorrow, she wants to do Pokemon Go.
Dude, I'm
And she asks Pepe when he comes home, like, hey, you want to do Pokemon Go tomorrow?
Which, that'd be a cool date.
Yeah, that'd be fun, right?
I like it.
And so... Here's a thing I didn't want to notice, but then I did. We cut to the next day, or whenever their date is. We're in Nakamaguro in Tokyo, and the subtitles or the little text at the bottom right says it's 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon. Would we all agree that 4:30 p.m. is about afternoonish time?
Yes.
Late afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Late.
The latest.
Haruka walks into frame and says, "Ohayo, Pepe," and I was like, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Good morning. She just woke
That's
up.
Good
Give
morning.
Her a break.
That is good morning. Hold
she
on.
She probably just woke up. She doesn't work.
Okay, that's true. But it made me think, is there maybe like a continuity thing? Like, was this shot in the morning and the editors want us to think it's 4:30?
I wonder.
I don't think it was. I hope at least it wasn't the actual morning, because they were drinking. They were drinking IPAs. That's what that was.
Yeah.
They were trading back and forth and having indirect kisses.
Also, yes, let's talk about that. So also another life lesson from Dodaima: never prescribe malice that which can be described by stupidity. So maybe it was a mistake, right, where they labeled it 4:30. Maybe they weren't just trying to like deceive us, you know what I mean? Maybe it was the morning and they were just like, oh, that's an editing error, right?
Maybe they have an inside joke.
We have to consider that a possibility. But there was, to the more interesting point here, an indirect kiss here. And I could see that when they handed each other's drink, Haruka looked at Pepe, was like, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? Okay, I'll do it too. Like, it was very nice. I was like, okay.
The gears are turning.
Yeah.
I think, first of all, they said Ohio. I mean, could it be one of those things where you say it ironically? It's like, yeah, like, I'm just sleepy or whatever. It's like, oh, hey, good morning. Just saying that ironically, even though it's definitely the wrong time of day. Like,
conspiracy theory. They were just talking about the state.
Ohio, Pepe. Have you been to Ohio, Pepe?
The next time we see them, they're going to be like, yo, Alaska, Kentucky. Yeah.
There's so many conspiracy theories swirling around this episode. It's hard for me to keep track of all of them. Seriously.
Conspiracy theory. Yeah. But also, I thought it was like heavily frowned upon to drink in public in Japan. Like, I know it's legal.
Drink and walk and stuff. Like, I thought, yeah, I don't know.
I thought, yeah, because I thought, Daly, do you know anything about that?
I do not, actually.
Yeah, because I knew it was legal, but I thought it was heavily frowned upon, so not a lot of people did it.
At least I say this in tourism videos on YouTube. That's where I get my information.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Well, just another thing to add to the conspiracy theory, right, is that Pepe then asked, you want to grab lunch later. So if it really is 4:30... they're having a really fucking late lunch.
Huh.
But then if they're having lunch later, they're having a really fucking early IPA.
Like I said,
I think
it was just probably a mistake. I think they just put 4:30 and it was not 4:30. You know, it was probably 11-ish or something. But they're just early drinkers. You know, I think likely.
But you think they would catch it when they re-edited the episode for international?
Nah. They don't give a shit about us.
Yeah.
That is clear with their music choices, right?
Ouch.
Yeah. They hate us.
You were swill to them.
The only other small detail I want to point out in this moment is, you know, Haruka catches a Squirtle, Pepe catches a Piplup, you know, water Pokemon represent, water starter represent, but Haruka's phone is in Japanese, but Pepe's phone, at least Pokemon Go, is purely in English from the looks of it.
Oh, it's not in Italian?
Yeah, that's what I was curious about, right? I mean, it could have been Italian, maybe. I only got a small glimpse, but at the very least, it's not in Japanese.
This is a theme, too, because Pepe's like, hey, I'm here to change the way you feel about Italians, girl. Mm-hmm. Let's go get some Italian to eat.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we don't actually speak Italian. We speak English.
Yeah. They go to, what's it, Trattoria Quattro Ragazzi, a very, very
Italian name.
The four young boys.
Yes. Okay.
But before we get there, we go to Hiki Cafe, right, in Shibuya, where this is where Emmy talks with her friends, right? And this isn't just, oh, Pepe's so hot, but it's like, look at these pictures of this really hot guy I live with, you know?
Does he also play the flute?
Yeah.
Because he had a flute. It was very posed.
Was that jazz flute? I looked too quickly, so I don't know if it was clarinet or what, but it was some kind of flute-like device.
Looks like a recorder.
A recorder.
I don't know.
All those things.
Maybe his alter ego is Jethro Tull.
maybe. Yeah, maybe he's, the anchor man playing jazz flute. But I wish we'll never get this. Maybe another Terrace. We can only hope. But I would love to see Ryo's reaction to that scene and this episode when he sees Emmy acting like that to her friends, breaking out the cell phone. Look how hot he is. Da 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 da. Oh, he's exactly your type. That's what her friends say. He's older, but he's still fun to be around. Powerful scene there.
It's gonna go one of two ways though. So because you don't know when or where everybody's gonna end up by the time he's gonna see that. Because that's gonna be a while from then, long time.
Yeah.
Might not even be till part three. I think that he sees it.
Guys, this just reminded me. Can I go on a hard tangent real quick?
One hard tangent.
One hard tangent this week. Okay,
one.
I should
as opposed to a soft one.
I should have brought this up last week, but back to Shohei leaving all of a sudden and just blindsiding everyone by that. Mathematically, doesn't this happen shortly after his porn scene airs in Japan? And you gotta wonder if maybe some of the feedback he was getting from that had some motivation in him just dropping everything and getting the fuck out of Dodge. Yeah, my conspiracy theory, since we're all throwing him into the fire this week, that's mine.
Whoa!
Like, holy dog. Shit, dude.
Whoa.
Holy, that, I think that helps explain it to me.
Yeah, because if you math it out, the softcore porn scene was episode 11, right?
Yep.
Which means they would have seen it around episode 16 or 17.
That's what I'm saying.
So
dude,
a week or two before
he left,
Shohei leaves. Just
the timing lines up to me.
Bruh.
This is my story. This is my truth.
Dude, so yeah, you think he's embarrassed?
I think he's like, oh, fuck. I think he might have just gotten a reaction that he just didn't like, couldn't handle, maybe wasn't what he wasn't expecting. And he's like, fuck this, I'm out. I mean, he left in the rain holding his golf club.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, I'm fucking out of here. Fuck this. That's my truth.
But at the same time, like, he's doing the films. It's not like no one can see them.
No, I know.
I mean, if people seek them out.
I know.
But not the Fuji TV audience isn't maybe usually watching a pink film.
I mean, you're right. But like, who is seeing it on Fuji TV that he doesn't want to see, that don't know about it otherwise?
Eden Kai told us that it aired.
Is he not telling his parents?
Eden Kai told us it aired in Japan.
Yeah,
as we saw it. That's what he said.
I mean, you're right.
On this very show. Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Yusuke.
Yeah, that's... That was a very hard tangent.
Yes, it was. Sorry. I just thought of it.
Yeah, too. That's a wild thought. And it makes me wonder if there are any another terrorist clips where we see their reactions, too.
Oh, I'd love it.
I'd love it.
I'd love it.
Maybe we'll find out one.
Stay tuned, boys and girls.
That scene proved Terrace House gold, especially for our show, by the way. We reacted to it live as well, so hunt that one down if you haven't seen it yet, because that's one of our more popular YouTube videos. So
hell yeah.
Self-plug.
So we go back to the Italian food place, Trattoria Quattro Ragazzi. And Pepe, you know, he's mentioning, hey, yeah, I'm doing 4 pages a day just so I can have my evenings free, which is insane to me. Like, that's bonkers, right?
So 6 pages a day is what he's up to,
me,
right?
That's reason enough not to do that job if you're just gonna die drawing. I don't know, I guess you love it.
It's a passion.
Yeah, it's the passion.
Yes.
Like, I mean, look at the game devs, right? Game devs get crunched all the time, but it's not like they wouldn't do it, you know? Like, it's what they, well, crunch isn't what they want, but
nobody wants
put up with
but
it for
the
love
anyway.
Of the game.
Yeah,
the love
I guess,
of the game.
I guess where I'm at, I mean, God bless them for people out there willing to do that shit. I guess I'm just at a point in my life where work-life balance is more important. So I'm glad those people are on the grind, but they can't do it for their whole lives, hopefully.
Well, I mean, that's why most people in the games industry burn out by the time they're mid-30s, early 40s.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure.
But also in this moment, Haruka says, hey, I'm so glad that you joined the house, because literally no one else in the house knows what a Squirtle is, but you do, and that's cool. Also, you should come see my next drag race this weekend. And he's excited. Daily, you have a thought?
I've been wanting to see more of like her drag racing, because we got to see it like the one time. I feel like we had so much like Haruka car time and then none as soon as I don't know what happened. Like, as soon as she dropped interest in Ruka, question mark, it just petered out.
I think good.
But she was like kind of giving herself away there. She was like at the beginning, like when they sat down, they're like face to face, and she's like, oh, it's like a really nice atmosphere. And then she like, and he was like, what? And like, she like actually like had to blush and be like, oh no, nothing. I guess I'm just excited. We've never like went out together one on one before. It's like, dang, girl. Yeah. Signal harder, why don't you?
Yeah. No. I have a couple theories about that. Now that she kind of revealed where that drag strip is, where that track is, it's pretty far. So I'm wondering if like the Terrace House producers are like, okay, we got our footage. We don't need to venture out there again. You know, it's kind of expensive on a Saturday to do that. So maybe that's why. The sad part here is seeing Pepe getting pepped up when she invites him. He gets excited about it. And you got to wonder if he's like, well, I really want to go to that, so I'm going to work extra hard now this week so that I can make sure I am available to go, because I'm so looking forward to that.
You could say he kicks it into second gear so he can finish his work faster. But then Hanukkah later pumps the brakes on him. Thank you.
Snaps for your puns. You.
I'll be here all night. But so as that scene goes, yes, they have plans. Let's hang out Saturday. You can watch me drag race. That'll be fun.
He's excited.
And then we cut to Suidobashi, right? Where we get to see Ryo in at the B-League tip-off conference. And if you're a longtime listener, you probably know I'm not the biggest sports person really at all.
We've established this. This is canon.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to me so hard that I glazed over this. Like, I've watched it 3 times, and every time I'm just kind of like,
yikes.
Like, basketball's happening, I guess.
That's not basketball. That's like, well, media stuff. It was boring for me too. Don't look at me like I found anything interesting in that scene. It's like, this is boring. But he was well spoken. I guess it demonstrated he has media skills. And he was like representing his entire team. That's the main takeaways there, I think.
Are we just going to ignore the fact that the dude on the left when they were doing the conference looked like he was like 50?
What the hell?
Yeah.
That dude looked like he should have been retired 15 years ago.
I got to rewatch. I didn't catch the guy in green,
very,
you mean?
He was a very wrinkled man.
I got to rewatch this now. Yes. I missed that. He's a very wrinkled
screenshot
man.
Of, look out for that on Twitter in the future, y'all, because I have some comments about this very wrinkled basketball player.
The team from Hokkaido, was it?
Hey, guys, applaud this man, all right? He's struggling here. He's playing a young man's game.
Next to all these, like, fresh-faced boys in their, like, early 20s.
Let's not put him down.
I mean, like, kudos to him, but it's like, holy shit.
You're sure he was a player?
Let's raise him up. He's a hero.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Unless he just got a couple really bad fights and his face just ended up that way.
Ouch. Okay.
You guys are just getting worse and worse now.
Okay, I know. That was really mean.
We're getting dark with Colin again. So.
I'm losing my empathy, guys. I need help.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Hi, Colin.
And that's the end of the show.
Goodbye. Windows XP shutdown noise.
Then we come back to the girls' room, right, where it's Kaori and Haruka, and this is the first time they've, I guess, talked with each other in a while, right? Like, just one-on-one. And Haruka asks Kaori, so how are you feeling since Shohei left? And Kaori says, initially a little bit lonely, but now I think I'm over it. Which I think is fair. It's been about a week, and he kind of left very suddenly, like ripping a Band-Aid off, you know? Kaori...
I'm sorry. I was just saying, that's the thing about her is, like, it's always been with Kaori. I'm on the defense force, okay? But she will self-admit, you know, she'll be the first to admit that she says things just to make people happy and just to keep things smooth. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is another case where I understand Shohei's pain point here, where you can't really take her at her word straight up, because I don't know if she's being straight up with Haruka here or she just wants to keep the peace in the room because she just says the thing that keeps the peace all the time. So I don't even know if she feels this way. It's frustrating. But I will miss her. She was a very nice woman. She's a good drawer. She used markers. She's cool.
Statements. She breathed. She had short hair. She wore t-shirts a lot.
She had a dog.
She has a dog named Alan.
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 Yeah.
Kaori then turns the questioning back onto Haruka, right, where she asks, how do you feel about the new people in the house? Haruka very obviously really likes the new people in the house, mainly the one new Pepe in the house. But Kaori reveals, maybe this is the first time she's ever said something so candidly on the show, but she said that she was initially intimidated by Pepe, didn't want to hang out with him, they couldn't look at his face at first, she didn't want to work downstairs anymore, but then whenever he did, she was always like, oh, look at that so-and-so
show
drawing.
That's show off.
Man, this totally shows, like, I hate to say it because she shouldn't be, but she's so insecure. She's so insecure about her own drawing talents. And it's like, no, girl, you're fine. You're making it. But she's got that imposter syndrome hardcore that she feels like she hasn't earned her place. And so seeing other people do art or creative pursuits is like, you know, comparison is the thief of joy, to quote Theodore Roosevelt.
Whoa.
She's constantly comparing herself to others, and for that to be like inside the house, like another artist there, of course that's going to like grate on her.
And I don't know, like, what he is doing is very official. Okay, but is it any more official than what she's doing with her work? Like, they're both successful. Like,
she's traveling a lot, as you'll see on her Instagram.
Yeah.
She's going places quite literally with her drawing.
I was surprised to hear this. This surprised me with her. She's always gotten along great with everyone, and it's been cool. And she bonded with Kenny on their drawing. I thought that might have been a thing. But here we are. At least you know what? I believe her. When she says these things, I think she's being honest. I don't think she's, you know, doing the thing where she just says the stuff.
But ultimately, she did say that she thinks that he's been a positive influence on her in mm-hmm. the house.
Yeah.
Like, convincing her to, like, probably, like, work more, I guess. Like, I don't think we've seen her work a lot more, but mm-hmm. that might be due to that, like, she feels intimidated to just go down and sit at the table and work side by side with him.
And being a positive influence can mean a lot of things. I don't really take that as her saying, oh, we're friends and now we're really cool. I just take that as, like, well, I took the insecurity I feel from him doing that and made myself better as a result, is kind of how I read that.
See, I read it. Here we are again, sounding our different theories, right? I read it as he's a positive influence on me because now I have a reason to get the fuck out of this house and kick my life into high gear.
I mean, definitely. I think Shohei had to have some influence. I mean, maybe minuscule influence, but had to have some influence on her timing for leaving. I think if Shohei was still here, I don't know if she would have left quite so suddenly, quite so quickly. But yeah, I agree with that too. Pepe is helping nudge her out the door.
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely subscribe to the idea that Shohei is a pretty big fat reason why she left when she did. What?
He's not fat.
Rude.
No, Shohei, guys, you know I love you.
Guys,
you're not fat.
Guys, Ruka and Haruka are the last two of the original six starter pack. I never would have guessed in the end that I thought Ruka might have been the first gone. And then when the girl fight happened, I did not think Haruka was long for this world. But here they are. They're still standing.
Wait, you thought she was going to die?
Don't take me too literally. Like, long for this Terrace House world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Outside of Terrace House is death.
That is true. That is fact.
Maybe Coyote, like, just like Shohei, needs to get out of the house just like, you know, just to get out of her comfort zone. Just to grow.
Spread her wings.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Because we were getting so close. We were getting somewhere. Like, Coyote just started opening up, was confessing that she felt insecure, was doing something about it, felt reaffirmed. She started thinking about art school. Like, she was doing all these things. And then it's like, just when it started to pick up a little bit, now she's leaving.
Okay, we got to talk. We will talk about, like, her, this official, like, announcement when she's leaving. But there's a little bit before that, too.
Yes. Let's. Yeah. So as she's saying, hey, yeah, I kind of hate sometimes seeing Pepe show off when he's working in the first floor. We cut to a shot of Pepe working on the first floor.
Working on his mom. Because that's how we do.
And it's very good comedic timing. And then Haruka enters, and this is where she says, hey, can I read your manga? And she reads it. And this is just boom, boom, boom. Series of unfortunate things to do when you're into someone and you want to leave a good impression, right?
Don't look at me when I'm reading your manga right in front of you at this table. Don't dare look at me react.
Yeah, let me encroach on your space, read your work, and force you to not look at me, and I won't give you any feedback.
And you got to imagine with that pile of papers in her hand, it probably took her some time, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes at least, to read what she had. And then she just kind of puts it down and said, I finished. Okay, good night. Good.
I think it was cute. Like don't look at me while I'm reading. Like, I think that was fine. But the fact that I was just like, wait, is this an editing error? Like, is there something missing here? Because she just sits it down and then is like, oh, by the way, let's change subject entirely. It's like if you look at someone's work, you're like, oh, I liked this, or that was neat, or like, even something super blasé, it's like, wow, you're really a mangaka. It's cool to see it, like, printed out or whatever. Like, something, anything, please.
Yeah. Like, put yourself in her shoes a little bit. Like, imagine, you know, you're someone's listening to the podcast on their headphones, like sitting next to you or whatever for the first time. And then they just like say, okay, I listened to it. See you later. Like, wait, what? Huh?
Later,
hold on a second. Yeah, like, wait a second.
See ya.
What are you doing?
Could you imagine if Pepe went to Haruka's drag race? He was there. She sees him watching. Yeah. And then when they meet up at the end, he's like, no words. I don't have anything to say. You want to go home?
Bye. So that's a fantasy, because that's not going to happen now, because at first, when I first watched this, the way this transpired to me was that she sat down and in my head, I'm like, okay, they're going to go to this drag race thing. Then she reads the manga and then she's like, oh no.
Like, you think that's,
then she's like, oh no. And then she goes, so Saturday, it's probably not a good idea, because the timing lines up. It's like, I don't think so. And I would have gone to bed believing that if she didn't at least have a secondary date to go to Rod Motors instead, you know. So I don't believe that. But at first I was like, oh god, did she like read his manga and then just totally like lose all interest and then cancel everything? Like, I don't put her past that. I'm sorry. Is that mean?
First of all, it was bad that she didn't like tell him that she liked the manga or like what she liked about it, yada yada. But then on top of that, so was this a non-date? Was she like telling him to come to this drag race hoping he would forget about it, but she was just trying to be cordial and invite him to something?
She kept saying, I hope you go. I'm looking forward to it. Let's do it. Like, when they left that initial invitation, it was on like Donkey Kong.
That's what I thought. But now she's like making it. She's like, like, yeah, totally don't.
By the way, I thought about it. I applied some thought to my offer. And after that, now you shouldn't go.
Has anyone gone to one of her drag races yet? I know we've seen the one.
No one
and
went.
And it was like her hanging out with her old man friends. But
I don't think there was any housemates there.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's like actually gone to see her.
It's and far maybe, out there, too.
Maybe she kind of realized that. And she's like, wait, I don't want him to watch me. I've never had like someone come along and watch.
See, it's the thing weird. The thing that makes me feel his pain a little bit more is because I can put myself in his shoes. Like, guys, I'm venturing to guess no drag racing girl has ever asked you to go watch her drag race or Corvette in Japan. That's a cool thing to say. That's something I would get hyped for. I would be very excited for. And like I said, he's grinding away. He might have, I don't know how many days removed this is from the first invitation, but he might have already been putting in work. He was clearly planning to go. He's clearly planning to put in whatever time and pages he needed to, so he had that day free. So I hope he didn't get too far ahead, you know, before she dropped that bomb on him. But I was hyped for him, because that would be a cool thing if someone invited me to that. And now it's not going to happen. Kind of sad.
Yeah, overall, this is just such a bad misstep for Haruka.
Definitely.
And the panel goes in on her, right? You know, in this very next scene, they say, oh, she's clearly a bad communicator, a little bit immature, doesn't really think about what the other person would feel with the way she says things, right? And it starts to make me think, you know, maybe the reason she hasn't found love in the house is because of who she is, and which is maybe a little mean to say, but you know, if all you've been doing is holding out hope for that one guy who really likes Pokemon, but then you invite him and then uninvite him on a date and read his work, but don't say or do anything about it. It's just, I don't know. It's like, how do you even respond to that? Like, even as just a friend, no romantic intentions, but just, how do you even do that?
And Jack? I'm struggling to think about another example where someone invited then uninvited someone to a date. It may have happened. Put a comment. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but it's just not a good look in life. It's not a good look on TV. And a good look on Terrace House.
One thing I do want to, the other thing I want to say in this panel moment is just that Yama says Roomba Kiyomi, which I assume is the name of his father.
That's
and
fucked
just,
up,
that's man. Just good. That just stands on its own. It's just being very good.
He needs to clean the house. Clearly, they need him in that house because it's a filth hole.
Yeah. And then we cut to the very last scene of this week's episode where we're on the first floor. It's Haruka chilling at the table and Ruka, I assume, making another broccoli pasta abomination. And Kaori comes in, big suitcase in hand. And it's just like, yep, I rented a flat in London. Peace out tomorrow. Bye, y'all.
Deuces.
Yeet.
Yeah. And she can't even say goodbye to a third of the house. Right? They're gone and they're not going to see her off. Sorry, Colin.
Yeah. Oh, and Haruka, why are you making a why are you crying? Why are you upset?
Yeah, why are you sad?
Stop why are you being sad for?
I don't understand.
That was odd to me that Kaori was just like laughing there when Haruka was like crying, like really emotional about it. That was weird too. It's like, what? It's not what I would expect out of Kaori. I would have expected more empathy, I guess.
I kind of see it though, because they never really had the bond. They kind of had like this superficial, like, when, oh goodness, what is her name even? Hardcore Parkour.
Risako.
When Risako was like, you guys are always like chatting and I feel like I can't even like come into the bedroom, like,
I think
I never felt like they were like best friends the same way that I felt with like Ami and Tsubasa in OND.
See, that's funny, because that's one example where that was sprung on me out of nowhere and I didn't even know where that one came from. But with this one here, the sad scenario I'm drawing based on the way that Kaori's reacting is that clearly they did not agree on how close their friendship was.
Yes.
Haruka thought it was very close and Kaori clearly didn't. And that's,
yeah, and we've heard Kaori even say so.
Yeah, and I would have thought it might have been flipped maybe, but it's not. I mean, wow. Like, Kaori don't give a damn, really.
Yeah, and I think that ties back into like what the panel was saying about Haruka being a bad communicator, because it didn't really hit me. I couldn't really put my thoughts about Haruka together until the panel said it out loud about her being just a generally bad communicator. She just kind of comes across in some ways as being immature in some senses. Like, it's clearly hard for her to like read certain social situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the fact that she had that whole myth with Pepe, and her just relationship struggles in the house so far, just like her courtship abilities, like, I don't know. She's just had a bad time, and I think a good portion of it is because of her communication, her ability to communicate.
To draw contrast here with the latest two departures from Terrace House Tokyo, Shohei leaving all out of the blue does not necessarily shock me. It struck me as a little rude, a little inconsiderate, you know, to the rest of the roommates, but I'm also not shocked. This thing with Kaori, she got a flat in London. She had her bags packed, rolling them out to the living room. What is prompting this incredibly short notice? Like, what? Why is that the preferred way to leave the house? Why not tell people? She clearly had to know this before the other two people left. Why is this the way to go out, I guess, for Kaori?
My hypothesis with this is, let's wind the clock back. What is it, like two or three episodes ago? That scene where all the girls were at the pool and Kaori just casually says, yeah, I don't think I trust anyone in this house, like, at all. Dude. With anything,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
we remember way back in part one, which feels like decades ago at this point, Haruka confided a lot in Kaori, right? Kaori was the shoulder that she leaned on, which maybe Haruka misconstrued as, yes, this is a friendship because I can say things to her and she listens. But the real thing about friendship is you've also got to be the one listening. You know, you can't just keep giving and giving without receiving anything.
Reciprocity. Because
when you do that, now Cardi's just your therapist, not your friend. Which, you know, that's fine. There are relationships like that, but I'm not surprised, I guess, that Cardi isn't as in tears. Because
I guess. I mean, when you think about that episode, at the pool, I can see that there, if that is the correlation. Colin, I'm just curious, not to put you on the spot here, but like, have you noticed with Kaori's Instagram if she's like hanging out with any of the old roommates or anything like that? Is it all just her by herself? Has she had anyone over to London? Do you know?
That I don't know. I vaguely remember seeing an Instagram post where Kaori was with someone from the house, but that was a while back. So I'm going to feign ignorance here. I'm really not sure.
Okay. Well, we can check it out later, but
yeah, I just know I've seen a couple shots of her like traveling. She did travel to France not that long ago. I remember seeing that one. She was there for like a Chanel event or something like that.
Of course she was.
Yeah.
I love just it. Casually. I love it.
She is.
Yeah.
I want her to live her best life.
She's hoity-toity. Like,
whatever. Exactly. And I just want to say about Kaori too, like, now that I think about it, I know I came out pretty hot at the beginning of the show talking about like, how could you do this to us just very suddenly? Like, we don't care about you. But if you really think about it though, like, actually for real, what are the attachments that Kaori has to anyone in the house right now?
None.
None.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why she's gone. That makes sense. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, what's keeping you there?
I guess my original question, though, is that why is this the preferred way to go out? Just all of a sudden, boom, when she knew in her head it was going to happen. You know what I mean? It's, you can't do renting a flat in London. I don't think just happens like, oh, I'm going to wake up and do it and now leave. Like, you got to get some inertia behind and even, that.
And even when she had that discussion like 3 episodes ago, that's what, 3 weeks ago in real time?
Something like that. Right? So it's just, I'm just wondering, why would she go out like this? Why not just say, hey, 2 days from now, I'm leaving, guys. I know you're going to be out of town. I want you to know. You know, just anything like that. It's just like, seems very scorched earth, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, I just don't think she cares.
Yeah.
I think she's just like, I'm ready to get the fuck out.
Sad. I mean, she had her highlights. We are the Cowrie Defense Force and forever shall be, but we will need a new moniker. And so we want your recommendations in the comments and in Discord. What do we change her name to? Now we're not the Cowrie Defense Force.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
I'm still defending her, though. I don't think she left because she was like, bye guys, I don't care, or like she didn't like announce it more formally because she was like, I don't care what you guys think. I think it was more like, I don't want to, like a tail between the legs kind of retreat, where it's like, I don't see the point of me being here anymore. I don't want people to try to convince me otherwise. I'm just gonna bow out quietly. I have played my part, and I've overstayed my welcome. Bye.
And don't even get to say bye to the other two roommates.
If you think about it, the fact that she rented a flat in London is the ultimate power play, right? Because if she had just said, I'm thinking about leaving, Haruka would be like, oh no, stay. Shohei might come back. But to be able to say, no, I have to like live in, like, I'm paying rent there now. I need signed to be there.
The lease, yeah.
Yeah. That's a much bigger, like, you have to go now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were going and there's no turning
back. It's the leap, yeah. Well, there's turning back. You just owe thousands of dollars, but
a lot of money in turning back.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah, money. In 6 months, she allegedly her lease is up, which might actually be. It's like March-ish, March April ish.
Mm. Let's go visit Cowrie, guys. Let's go to London. It's close to America. If you ask Ruka,
that's right. Thank you. The other dumb thing.
That's what I was trying to say earlier.
So close.
You know what? I thought in his head, I could see the wheels spinning. He's like, you know, there's white people there. White people, America. This got to be close, right?
That's close to America.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like just across the pond.
Daly has a very scary look on her face right now. What are you going to say?
New conspiracy theory.
God, dude. We need a tally board here.
Hey, hold on. Please. Before you dive into this conspiracy theory, I just want you to know, geography is like kind of an absolute thing.
Okay, no.
New conspiracy theory. Maybe it is close to America and we don't know it.
No.
The ice wall. No.
So I'm going to put my Alex Jones hat on. So here's what you don't know is climate change is fake, but also tectonic plates are moving and earthquakes. And
go ahead, Daly.
No. Ruka's 14. Ruka's like 14, 15. That's it.
That's
We've been
tweet.
Bamboozled. That's the tweet. That's send tweet. We've been bamboozled. They've been saying like, oh, no, this is an adult man that we're sending you. And his family is complacent. His workplace is complacent in this
complicit
conspiracy.
Too.
Where
probably both.
Yeah.
Complacent.
They're both. I mean, anyway, Ruka is complacent.
But they were like, "Okay, you're gonna be on TV, yay!" And he's like, "Cool, I get to skip school and stuff, and pretend to be an adult." Like, I don't know, because that would honestly be an easier explanation, this like tangled web of people
Thank
that
you.
Are pretending that he's yes, the tangled Spider-Man web of people pretending that this is an adult man versus like how dumb and weird and I'm sorry, Ruka, like unprepared for the world he is.
You know, it's funny too, because I remember reading once in my textbooks that Nishinoidi does translate to adultman. So his name is Ruka Adultman.
Wow.
Which is it's suspicious.
Adultman. Holy shit, guys.
like
it's real. It's real.
I really think it's just as simple for the guy. First, I'll say, oh shit, I've only said one stupid thing this week. Come up with something. London.
He's got a quota.
English white people. That's America too, right? Like, that's really, I think, the thought process there. And anything beyond that is just giving him too much credit, maybe.
So I'm assuming his parents are watching this.
I hope not.
What are they thinking?
Can you imagine?
Like, good God, boy.
Can you imagine?
The boy we raised.
I don't think his parents are watching. His grandma's definitely watching, but I don't think his parents are watching.
Wait. Did we? Okay,
new conspiracy theory. No.
Oh, boy.
Conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy theory number 26 for the set.
This -3B.
Well, and then I had deja vu, because I'm pretty sure we as a collective group have come up with this conspiracy theory before. Well, what if this is his grandma throwing him into the deep end, and it's just like, you either learn to swim or you sink and die.
Wow.
Wait, did his grandma sign him up for this? Or was that...
No,
was
that you, or was that you die. You die.
No, but he's right. A grandma's boy. Okay,
they're
never
both
mind.
Grandma's boys. Yeah.
Yes.
But
okay.
This, there. Wow, there was a bevy of conspiracy theories, and we want to hear your thoughts, guys. That was quite an episode.
A tangled web of conspiracy theories.
Real quick, do you think we're going to get an official Kauri goodbye next episode, or was this it? Was this it?
I think we'll see, like...
Her put her keys up, walk away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see her send off next episode.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, but she's not going to say bye to Yo or Emmy.
I liked her a lot. She had an interesting run on Terrace House. It was, like, very involved with, like... There's a lot of talk about who she liked... without anything actually ever really getting close to even happening. You know what I mean?
Well, like, she was engaged. So,
oh, that explains it all.
That's what I hear through the grapevine.
conspiracy theory.
But I say, let's wrap up this week's episode. It's been a long one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have any questions, comments, any theories to go on top of our many conspiracy theories from this week's episode, you can email any and all of those things to us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. And you know, we've been doing the show for a while now. We're in our 13th, 14th month of doing this. We are close to a pretty huge milestone on YouTube. It's very exciting for us all here at Tadaima Studios LLC. We're not an LLC. And just to, you know, just to kind of help us grow a little bit, if you enjoy the work that we do here, if you really do think that we do a fantastic job and you want to see us do more of it, we've actually opened up a Buy Me a Coffee page where you can, you know, if you like what we do, throw us $5, buy us coffee to keep us awake. Because really, we haven't slept since the first episode. We just keep drinking coffee until we just keep making.
But we want more coffee, which is weird.
We do.
But don't think about it too hard.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, if you enjoy the work we do, throwing us some caffeine would help. And because all we want to do is make the best show possible for you and for us. And any bit of your support would be greatly appreciated.
Guys, I'm like Fry in that episode of Futurama with all the coffee. Send help, please.
Send coffee.
Right. Send coffee.
But if not that, I mean, feel free to join our Discord, you know, join our, follow us on Twitter and all that stuff, because it, really any way that you interface with us is, it just means the world to us, you know? We will be back next Tuesday, where we're going to talk about episode 20 of Tokyo 2019-2020. The Third Flower. Weird name.
Hmm.
I feel like all of them are kind of weird,
as
right?
opposed to the second flower.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
or the second banana.
This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itadakimasu. We hope you enjoyed the show. You can follow us on Instagram at Tadaimagram, on Twitter at Tadaimapod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and the brand new Discord server, all linked in our show notes.